Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. I am so excited to be bringing you this piece of theater today. We saw it recently at the New York City Fringe Festival, and I cannot shout it from the mountains enough. This show is amazing. It was so good. You are going to want to take it in. It's such a great time and an incredible story while we're at it. Joining us to talk to us about the show, we've got the writer and performer of the show, Pamela L. Peck. They're here to talk to us about their show, No Fucks Given, None Taken, All Done. And it's part of the New York City Fringe Festival. There are three shows remaining, April 18th, 20th, and 21st, and all of these are happening at the Wild Project. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. This has got to be one of the best shows we've seen, not only at this year's festival, but in, you know, at festivals in general. It's so fantastic. Love the participation. I'm just kind of rambling on. And so I think the best person to speak to, of course, is the creator. So let's go ahead and bring them on. Pamela, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew and Stage Whisper. I'm so excited to be part of this.
I'm so excited that you're here. As I keep saying, the show was so, so good. And I mean,
thank you.
Should be like standard for anyone, because the message and the ideas that you were discussing, I was like, yes, that, all that. You want to fix humanity? That right there. So why don't we start by having you tell our listeners a little bit about what your show is about?
Sure. I feel like I am probably, you do a much better elevator and sales pitch of it than I do, I feel like. So if I were to say the what of the show is, I'm a curmudgeonly professor who's teaching seven life lessons about how we need to level up humanity, because we are all complicit in humanity's demise and we can't keep pointing the finger outward. We've got to look at ourselves and then laugh at ourselves about it. I'd say it's a dark comedy, kind of like a TED talk, but with a lot of grouch and stank versus this kind of like toxic positivity that I feel like is infiltrating the world. And I feel like that's the gist of it. But if you're willing to have something be irreverent and to laugh at ourselves, then get ready for a ride.
Absolutely. Absolutely with that. So where did you come up with the idea to create the show?
Well, the title is really funny, because a lot of times people have told me what I should be talking about, and it's based on different aspects of my identity. So because I think we're not being seen, correct? Like, I'm a Korean American who I consider a gender female, who's asexual with neurological and orthopedic disabilities. Some of these things you can see, some of them you can't, some of you might be able to witness. So when somebody learned I was asexual, they said, we don't hear about this enough. And this was maybe 6 years ago. You should do a show on that. And so then I came up with a title, which was No Fucks Given, None Taken, All Done, like literal asexual. And then they said, and I go, that's all I have to say about it. Like, I don't do it, done, that's it. But when I thought about the title as a figurative thing about like how I'm just kind of fed up with certain things in the world, what I need to say about it, how I don't feel like there's a place for it, that's where everything started to kind of start coming together about how do I show up? How can I be in support? And how do I also say what I want to say without feeling like I'm going to be canceled or that I have to be censored? So kind of like letting go of my own internal restrictions and constraints that I put on myself from being showing up in full, or how I really want to be seen, or just authentic all the time versus playing small and staying out of people's way.
That's fantastic. I love that's how that came about. Now, I'm curious to know, how is it developing this show?
It's so interesting. I've been writing poetry and short fiction and journaling since probably like age 9. And so for me, writing is a very regular part of my practice. And so I got to work with Shinshin Yudersai, who was the director. And he also directs the AAPI comedy, sketch comedy group I'm in Orange County. And so I know him very well from being part of the troupe, but also through the show. And he is the one that kind of started unpeeling the layers of like how I might inadvertently silo different parts of my life. And so this thing around me being an educator, somebody who does a lot of trainings using PowerPoints, he was thinking, how do you bring that trainer part of yourself into your work? And he's the one that came up with this idea of like making them lessons. And so that structure came into place where then everything started to click versus I just have things to say. And he goes, well, what would be the structure that would provide it versus just being some kind of random rant? And that to me was really beautiful. And I got to see where, whoa, I don't allow this part of myself to be showing up in my acting life. It's more of, hey, this is a structured stand-up or a solo show. That's it. But what are the elements of myself at my day job that now can be part of it? So the things you might think that are more socially relevant, like around DEI, for example, I've never really brought that formally into the work, and now it's kind of there. And I'm also sort of teaching instead of just, spewing out my POV.
I absolutely love that. So now this is not the world premiere of the show. You've done it
No.
before, right?
Correct. So I did a short form of it for Frontera Fest in Austin, Texas in February 2023, and it was awarded a Best of Fest. So I got to perform it several times there. And then one of my really good friends, who's also an actress and a former acting coach in LA, she's seen the show several times and she said, you need to take this on tour. This is like your signature performance. It's bringing out elements of yourself. So Jonna Johansson is the one who told me to develop this into a larger, an hour-long show and take it for the world to see me in full. And so I actually was here in New York March 2023 and did the short form of it for Solo Fest at the Pit. And then I developed the hour long for the Hollywood Fringe in June last year, took it to San Francisco Fest in August. And then I'm now here in New York, and then we'll be taking it to San Diego Fringe in May, as well as Cincy Fringe in June. So I am definitely listening to my friend who said, take this, and what a ride. I'm constantly learning about myself along the way and all of the ways I can be triggered, with all in a good way and also in a very like deep soul way.
Oh, I love it. I'm so happy more people are going to get to see this work. It's
Oh,
just like
thank you.
spreading across the country. This is fabulous.
Right. And then for New York, it also can be live streamed, which is so interesting because theater is so much is about in person. So how many people can you get into the theater? And now I love that New York City Fringe is allowing us to reach other people who are able to, to what is it? I don't even know what the word is, like dial in. Wow, I sound like I'm from like 1994.
Now, I
Zoom
want
in,
to.
Vimeo in. What is the term? I can't even think of stream it. Oh my goodness. Yes, stream it.
Yeah, I think that the streaming is a wonderful option now that they've added. Well, I'd love to know with this great show you've got, this, the lessons you're teaching and whatnot, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences take away from this piece?
Well, I think the zeitgeist that we have, like we're living in, I feel so many of us are maybe mindlessly part of it and not realizing that we've bought into what has been normalized, even if maybe deep down we disagree with it or maybe we're unhappy. It's just like, well, that's just the way it is. And there's a sense of like helplessness or powerlessness. And I want folks to say, like, hey, what have we accepted as truth that we actually have the agency to change? So that's one. And that is a very kind of more philosophical, maybe deeper rooted want, like a very earnest want. And the other is, where do we get off on our own sense of self-righteousness and indignation and let that go so we can be in better connection with one another and actually laugh at ourselves because we are also part of, we are not innocent. And I would just love for us to like kind of let go of our egos to be more present with one another and laugh because to me, laugh, it's, I don't want to say laughter is the best medicine because as someone who's been sick, I'd say, I wish it was because I'd be much healthier. And I'd also want to say, when can we talk about hard things and be able to not be on the defensiveness about, like, be defensive about it, where we can actually just be with one another and say, like, hey, I see myself in this and I'm going to now be able to see you and reflect your humanity in a way that's different. And I guess I can't even say anything light about it. I keep just talking about serious stuff here. But my hope is for it's just some deeper self-awareness.
I love that. I love that. I think that is perfect. And it's a good lead into my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to no fucks given, none taken, all done?
I love how you say it. Fantastic. Who I'd hope is anybody who is willing to just, it should be for everybody, I would say, but nothing's for everybody. If you're okay with profanity, there's a lot of it. I'd say I'd hope for folks who just want to get out of what I call, the matrix. I mean, I don't call it the matrix, but we're all in the matrix. And how do we become a Neo or a Trinity or a Morpheus where we're just out of it and we can have these superpowers where we can look at things in a different way? That's the framing for it. And if you're willing to look at that and let go of status quo, I think you would be super excited to see something different. And it's not about it being political. It's just about our own day-to-day life that we've taken for granted.
second part of our interview, we'd love to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pull the
Okay.
curtain, if you will. And I want to start by asking you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows inspire you, or just some of your favorites?
Yeah, I would say I'm not somebody from a traditional theater upbringing. I came into it pretty late in the game, and I'm saying 10 years ago. So just a really quick backstory was around a little over 10 years ago, I had some brain damage stuff happen that was causing a lot of restructuring of my body and way of thinking. And so my doctors were encouraging me to do something that would have me go out in the world, but not have me do this kind of like highly complex academic stuff that I was used to. And so that's how I learned about acting or stand-up comedy or any of these things at all. So I just want to say that coming in late, I feel like I'm going to answer this wrong versus how people I feel like would be like so exquisitely beautiful and talking about Broadway. So I'm going to talk about two people in general who are not traditionally, I would consider theater folks, but it's Hannah Gatsby and Tig Notaro. And I say that because I think of them as one person shows who have comedic elements to it, but also are very, very vulnerable in how they show up and authentic in a way that I feel like is not the norm. On top of calling out the system and breaking the current cycle of what has been just kind of internalized as like, this is how you're supposed to do it. And they just broke the cycle on both of that. So for me, I feel like being able to be self-expressed, to not have to go like, oh, I'm one person on stage, so I have to do many characters as a solo show, or I'm one person on stage, I have to do stand-up comedy. It's how do I speak my truth in my voice, in the way I want to present, and have that be okay. And both of those have those two specifically have helped me kind of own my sense of presence in a way I didn't even know was possible before. And so I'm coming from it from that way versus, hey, like I loved Wicked or Phantom or all of that other stuff, which I think is beautiful. It's sensationalized and it's also stuff that I wouldn't be doing as a single person, right? So it's like, how do I balance that or address that specifically? But anyone who gets at authenticity or looking at a different way of things, so I would say Phantom and Wicked, for example, of looking at folks that maybe would be villainized or on the fringe, what is it that we can learn about them and their humanity? That to me always has me hooked. There's something around the character and us looking at things from a new perspective that has me going, yes, I want to see that and like change my mind. I'm all in.
I love that. Some fabulous inspirations. Well, I want to ask you now, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
There's something around changing the way I show up to live theater that I feel like I is different than consuming something that's digital media. Right. So I have to be more present, I feel like if I want to really give back to the actors, I'm an active participant as an audience member and also somebody on stage. It's that I need to be ready for anything to happen because it's live. It's not the best of, it's not a cut. It's what do I do in this? So unlike a traditional play, like because this is my show and because it's interactive, I love the fact that I can put anything out there and be able to be in real time. How am I going to respond to this person's response? So Same Dick Energy, for example, that you said was hilarious. And I'm sitting there going, I don't have anything to say about that right now. I wish I had a quicker comeback. But it's also like this this testament of, okay, that's what happened. And I remember one time there was a person in LA who kept dropping things during one of the shows. And the last time she did it, it was like a bunch of coins. I think her purse was open and it just like started falling out. And I go like, okay, I think we're struggling with gravity today. Right. And that's all I said. And it got a laugh. And I don't think it was funny necessarily, but I mean, it was acknowledging what was happening, what that everyone else was witnessing, right? Because they're hearing it versus it just kind of passing over it because I could. I would say that in a traditional theater space, you got to stick with what's happening. And mine was, no, I'm this teacher on display going like, I heard that, like, get it together, you know? So that was kind of fun. But the interaction, anything can happen. I think I love that. It keeps me very present and focused.
I love that. That is so fantastic. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask theater guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, let's see, there's a lot. I would have to say the first time I got to see a big play, and it was, God, I was so young. So it was like my best friend, her parents took us to see Phantom, and it was, what is this? How big is, like, this isn't what a play is? Because until that point, it was more community theater or seeing my friends perform, you know, as teenagers or preteens or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, cute. But I didn't know, and I say spectacle in the most loving way. It's just like, this is a thing. Like, this is an experience. like, what am I doing? And so just the awe, I love awe and wonder in general, but just that thing of, holy cow, what is happening here? And anytime any theatrical experience can break me into something new, like when I saw Lion King, I was like, wait, they're on the aisles? That, what are these costumes? Like, how are they going to make this great, animated feature that I loved into some, all of that to me is anytime I get lost in the moment and the wonder of it. I feel like that is the whole joy of theater for me.
I love that memory. Love that memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Sure.
As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug? You had mentioned this show is going to San Diego in May and Cincinnati, if I remember right, in June, right?
That is correct. Yep. I have a show that Frontera Fest is a festival I've been participating in probably every year except for the one it was closed for the pandemic since 2019. I open a new solo show every year. And this one, I started a new one, which is called Abalones Minus, like the minus sign, abs equals alone. And it's a mathematics equation. So basically, I don't want to call a show alone. It just sounds too sad and emo. But I am now expanding that to, I'm expanding that to an hour-long version, and it's going to be part of Glendale Solo Fest, which is my performance is June 9th. So they highlight five different solo artists, one every night from, what is it? I think it might be the fifth or the sixth through the ninth, and that will be the full-length version of that will finally be on display then. So I'm excited about working on that while also doing, it looks like maybe 12 more shows of No Fucks Given in that same time span.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I love
Yeah.
that. And that is a great lead-in then to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about No Fucks Given, None Taken, All Done, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Okay, so I'm so elusive and reclusive. It's really funny. I'm only recently trying to expand in the space of trying to be not just sharing blatantly and openly in front of the people in front of me, but just in general. So I have something called a milkshake account, which is similar to a Linktree, but it's free. And it's milkshake and it's a version of it with, but if you look up Pamela L. Peck, Peek, you'll be able to find either that Milktree account, you'll be able to find my social media. I also have something called Pecking Order. So my last name, Peeking Order. That is my Instagram and my TikTok, which I just started. But again, it's so hard to find me. And I would say that I need to be better at marketing and publicity. So if you can't find me, sometimes I can't find myself. So I get it. I get it.
Well, Pamela, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, for sharing your show. Thank you for such a great experience at your show. This has just been absolute joy. I really appreciate you taking the time today to speak with me. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And again, for your energy and your support and your love, I think it's unbelievable. I feel like, wow, what a gift. And we had just met at my show, and I just thank you for being who you are.
Thank you so much. My guest today has been the writer and performer Pamela L. Peck, whose show No Fucks Given, None Taken, All Done is part of the New York City Fringe Festival. She's got three more shows left on April 18th, 20th, and 21st at the Wild Project, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But you need to hurry and get your tickets now. I have a funny feeling that these shows are going to sell out and you don't want to miss it. This is one of the best shows we've gotten the chance to see at the New York City Fringe Festival. And it's going to keep gaining momentum, gaining success. You want to be able to say you saw it when. So get your tickets now for No Fucks Given, None Taken, All Done. April 18th, 20th, and 21st.
And you can see it streaming too if you're not in the New York area, New York City area.
Yes. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.